Good morning, and welcome to the live portion of our broadcast here on KIDE Hoopah Tribal Radio. We broadcast on the assigned carrier frequency of 91.3 megahertz with 195 watts of radiated power. And today we are going to break from our usual musical programming and bring you the Hoopah Valley Tribe's general meeting. It's scheduled for right now at the Neighborhood Facility Gym. There's still plenty of time, plenty of seats, but if you like, keep your radio tuned right here as we take you live to the Neighborhood Facility and down in Hoopah. Jake?
I just want to say appreciate everyone being here and taking the time out of your Saturday to come out to the general meeting of the Hoopah Valley Tribe. First thing we want to do is have an opening prayer. If we could have Engine Bill come up and offer a prayer.
Before we start, whatever. We want silence for the two of the soldiers that got killed the other day at Kento. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Tribal Council would also like to offer our heartfelt condolences and prayers to family of.
We apparently lost our signal to the neighborhood facility, so we will try to reestablish that and come back in a minute.
That there is a dialogue that is happening, and it's a dialogue that is respectful and recognizing of the unique issues that every tribal member has. We are open to these types of events, but not so much in a fashion like we've seen before where it's, all right, let's present to the tribal membership what we want you to hear. We normally would parade up program managers, different departments, and allow them to offer
what was happening within their program and within the tribe. That's not what we're interested in. Obviously, we do have information that was gathered from the programs as part of a packet there that we're handing out. But again, this today is more of an opportunity for the tribal membership to offer opinions, statements, ask questions, set priorities for the group, and that's where we're headed. I would like to also mention that we have two sessions. We have the opening session, which is this morning, and this session will be more of a listening session where we'll take public comments. There won't be so much dialogue between the tribal council or myself and the speakers. We're going to save that for this afternoon. So if there are questions or if there are things that you'd like to have answered, that we can save that for this afternoon after lunch. We are committed to making sure that there is a dialogue, that there is an opportunity for the council members as well as myself to address the issues and the concerns that you might have. So, but for this morning, the mic is open for taking public comments and statements. So we'd just like to go over also a few things, what we hope to gain and what the reasons why we're having the general meeting. The primary motivation is to let the tribal members have an opportunity to speak and talk about the issues that are concerning to you, not necessarily issues that we have that we want to cast out, but what are the things that you guys would like to see? What are the issues that you would like to raise? What are the issues that you would like to have us address? But also we're going through a process of setting priorities, and through that process of setting priorities, we want to be as transparent as possible. We want to be able to feel like the membership can trust that this council is open and honest in our deliberations and our what we are trying to do is be more inclusive of the tribal membership. We'd also like to hear public opinions on the different issues and the matters that are facing the tribal membership. We also want to find solutions to the issues that tribal members have. And also, not the least of which we're interested in is gathering information from tribal members about all of the things that are concerning to you. I missed one process here. It was to actually, there's a few announcements. One is on registration. So you have two registration desks. One has Bonnie, the other has Leilani there. We're hoping that you can register, sign in, help us with taking your names, spelling, those types of things. There's going to be three forms of note-taking as we proceed. The first is a tape recording of the meeting by Executive Secretary Judy Serber. We also have flip charts that will be manned by Jennifer and Kutcha. And the third is a computer-recorded notes of the proceedings. And we are also being broadcast live on KIDE, so just FYI on that one. And then one last announcement is that we will serve lunch around noon. And we're going to break for lunch. We're not going to work through lunch. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to take some time to get a bite to eat and reconvene. So after the meeting today, there'll be a few more steps in this process. I don't want to be too long-winded here, but we will have a summary report of the meeting that we provided to the tribal council. When the report is finalized, we will present that to the tribal membership through various forms, the web page, district meetings, council working session, council meetings, those types of avenues to make sure that the information that we gathered is provided. One more thing that we are committed to in this process is to hold general meetings on a quarterly basis to ensure that this is happening more often, in an effort to be, again, like we said, more open, more transparent, and to have a continued dialogue. As issues come up, it's important that we're here to address those issues and work together to solve them. Okay, so we're going to have some rules also for accepting of the public statements. We're taking oral statements from tribal members. Those statements will you'll be allowed to speak for 5 minutes. We will also be accepting written statements, if there are any written comments, until July 17th. So the record will be open until then if folks want to provide a written statement. As you either come up to the microphone, or I believe Haley has a roving microphone here, I will recognize the speaker and you'll be allowed to offer your statement. The hope is that we stay on, when you come up and make a presentation or offer a statement, that the issue that you present be the statement be on one singular issue. If you have additional issues that you'd like to also speak about, we would ask that you save that, come back in through the line, if you will, or back through the process, so that our note takers and everyone can adequately understand and hear the specific issue that you're presenting. Also, we want to ask that you speak clearly into the microphone. And any of the testimony or the statements that you offer, we'd ask that you direct that to the tribal council and not necessarily to individuals or program managers, if you will. The tribal council is here to take all of the statements. I'll do my best to make sure that there are no interruptions of any of the speakers as you're making your statement or on the microphone. We'd also ask that you not question, offer any questions to the speakers. We know it certainly at times can maybe be an emotional subject or be potential for people to maybe get upset, but we hope that we don't necessarily need any real heated back and forth between one another. And we'd also like to maintain a respectful tone of everyone. I think that would be helpful. Another thing that we have here is that council members may ask questions in order to clarify facts or opinions of those making the presentations. So those are a few things, just a few of the ground rules. Okay, now as far as the ground rules for making the statements, and these were handed out to the individuals, I believe, is that right? We'd ask that you, before you make your statement, give your full name. You speak into the microphone so everyone can hear you, one topic at a time. You have 5 minutes. If you have additional topics, you line up for after you've made your initial statement. You may go to the podium, speak as many times as the schedule allows. No profanity or bad language. No personal attacks or attacks on individuals. Do not yell, shout, crosstalk, or overtalk from the audience during your statements. Also, be polite and courteous. And number 11 is to turn off your cell phones if you have them and are on. And with that, we're opening up the floor to anyone wanting to make a statement. thanks again for everybody for attending.
Tough crowd.
Huh?
Tough crowd.
This is an easy one. And there's there's donuts and other things too there if folks haven't had an opportunity to get some of those.
Morning.
Morning.
Is this on?
It is, yep.
Okay. Let me start it off. First of all, congratulations to all the newly elected council members. My name is Peter Maston. I am on the board of directors of the Kamau Medical Center. And I would just like to make some comments on the tribe's constitution and bylaws, policies, bylaws, charters and bylaws that were developed many years ago to, I guess I'd say, give the programs that are under charters authority to operate their programs. And when those charters were created, the tribal council, all people that were on the tribal council had other jobs. They worked. The honorarium was $25 per meeting, and there was a lot of activity going on at that time. This was in the early 70s. There were a lot of program developments, a lot of projects taking place, and the council just didn't have time to deal with all those issues. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to divert authority to these chartered entities in order to manage the programs. And in those chartered entities, if you'll read them, you will see that the authority to manage those programs were given to those chartered entities. And much to my dismay over the years, what has evolved is that the charters, the bylaws, have not been adhered to by various tribal councils. And it seems like in more recent years, the tribal council has diverted a lot of their authority in the place of those chartered entities. And it's created, I think, a lot of problems, and I think it's weakened some of those entities. So I guess what I would ask is that the tribal council read the charters, take a look at the policies that are involved with the tribe and also some of the entities. As I understand, you're going to be calling the entities in to meet with us, and maybe, you know, we can have a longer discussion about that at that time. But it's a breach of chain of command that I felt was initiated by the tribal council, previous tribal councils. So all of those things, I think, and some of the things that have taken place have, I think, been detrimental. Board members that are appointed can't be negative. They have to be positive, and I think that's what you folks are talking about now, is that you want to try to bring everybody together to improve and upgrade the programs and the services that we currently provide. So that's kind of my thoughts that I would like you folks to delve into. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Did you have something, Joe? Okay. Just remind everybody as we go forward to move as close as you can to the microphone. I think Joe might be a pro on speaking into a microphone, but anyway.
My question was the difference between this first session and the second session, but I think I understand it now.
Okay, I can.
So I can make the statement,
sure.
And then maybe we'll discuss it later. Just as I would like to discuss what Peter brought up.
Yeah, absolutely. The opening session is for statements, and then in the afternoon
we
can bring the subject back up.
My name is Joseph Russell Orozco, although I'm registered as Joseph Orozco Jr. That's the way my grandmother registered me back in 49. But my full name is Joseph Russell Orozco. About 5 years ago, when that notice about the large amount of settlement was coming, the tribal council then requested managers to submit a couple of pages or a one-page document about an idea. When we were offered five ideas, so come up with five ideas. So I had one that I presented and I wrote up. I call it the Community Quality of Life Project. The overall goal: the project advocates a series of town hall meetings to gather thoughts and opinions of the community on the quality of life they would want for the Hoopa Valley the next 20 years. This project requires the majority of the input by people 30 years of age and younger. Of this group, it is most important to have the input of young mothers and current unemployed and those least able to earn a legal income within the tribal employment standards. Time and again, great ideas are launched without any forethought given to the effects such actions may have on the community's social fabric. The community at large is not well enough involved in the pre-development stages of the jobs and services created for their use and employment. The evaluation standards for open public hearings or meetings are too lax in that if only one community person attends, the presenter can check off the box showing a public hearing was held. This is not community involvement. This is not democracy in action. To create a community quality of life statement, this project advocates a comprehensive approach to involve a broad cross-section of the community and to focus on the opinions and needs of the younger generations as they are the ones who will live out any enacted plans. This process acknowledges community values and outlines the process that needs to happen for the community to achieve the quality of life it wants. This process identifies the current and future resources available to help achieve the progressive measures. This process may take longer than a year. In fact, if wisdom prevails, such planning should be slowly developed to ensure quality results. The overall project. The project requires a full-time leader who will coordinate all project elements, a small group of residents that represent a cross-section of the community shall be advisors who meet four times a year, an outside consulting firm with community building and goal-setting experience needs to be hired or contracted, local paid survey takers need to be recruited, trained, and assigned tasks, local public information gathering events need to be planned and organized. Local community assistance is needed to provide food, childcare for those mothers who would like to attend and be involved in the meeting, and transportation as needed. Regular updates and program reports need to be shared in local media. It is believed that public involvement throughout the process will ensure that the plans made will be followed through over the next 150 years. I estimated at that time this project would cost $113,773. Raise that up a little bit more. The line item budget needs to be developed and include full-time jobs for hired and contracted and appointed personnel in order for the project to move forward. Who benefits? Everybody in the long run. Tribal membership benefit as the resources use is informed, final stop, okay. Everybody benefits. Can I go on?
It's just a short part. Good.
Okay, thank you. The tribal membership will benefit as the resources use, as resource use is uniformly planned, as natural environment quality is better understood and nurtured, as individual and cooperative jobs develop that provide reasonable household incomes, as personal education and training opportunities develop, as safety measures are taken to help the least able to sustain normal employment as a means of living gracefully. Meeting the tenets of this project may help lessen the need for some to escape the pressures of a reality not of their making through drugs, alcohol, and other forms of risky living. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Kenneth Patrick Norton. Kenneth Patrick, only when I'm in trouble by my mother. Anyway, I'd like to bring forward an issue of concern of mine dealing with arson. And arson has become prevalent in the Hoopa Valley. And I believe that the Hoopa Valley is one in Indian country at the top of incidence of arson in our community. I believe that the community and tribal governments has accepted arson as a common occurrence. And I am guilty of that too. A couple months ago, there was a fire that came up through Byron Nelson's and up through Community Road. It wasn't until that incident occurred that I really saw how at risk our community is and our homes are at risk. We are in the fourth year of drought, very dry conditions. I believe the fire almost came up to Patty's home and we lost these homes, could have lost these homes. Arson plays a significant role in loss of our revenues. We lose timber revenues on an annual basis. We lose the ability to utilize our water, drinking water, and then we come up short and then we have to ration water. So my concern would be if the council could consider developing a task force that involves the community, departments, and tribal government that very seriously looks at multifaceted issues, that looks at awards, looks at stronger incarceration or stronger laws that go after these individuals. We have lost federal buildings, tribal buildings. The Hoopa Indian Reservation is a federal reserve. The buildings are federal buildings. I don't know what happened when we the investigation of law of the housing authority and the tribal insurance. It would seem to me that there would be a full federal investigation. The tribal membership never really heard what were the actions taken. I feel it, I made comments to individuals, where else do government buildings burn and communities at risk? And made the comment that Somalia, third world countries, doesn't happen in the United States, but on Indian reservations it does. So I would like to see coordination with the tribal council, our forestry department, a fire department, of fuels reductions, educational outreach in regards to defensible space, and more tougher laws against individuals that are prosecuted. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Hi, I'm Lola Canoe Henry. Talking with some of my friends and relatives, the address coming today was to address the downtown area. The loitering, the people passed out along our businesses. They're passed out alongside the roadside. They're fighting there. They're under the influence of drug and alcohol. The concern is personal safety of just going to the grocery store or to the mini mart now. Yesterday there was over 30 people downtown hanging out. I went and counted them before I came to the meeting today. It's kind of sending a message to our youth that this is okay when they pass by down there, that this is acceptable to be that way and be downtown. There's garbage all over the sites where they sit. There's vandalism downtown. It's hurting our businesses because I, for one, will only go to the store if I really need something. Otherwise, I go to town and I get my gas out town too now. And we can't let that happen. We have to take back our community and keep our businesses for our tribal members. And I came with solutions because I've been hearing people talk, and I've been seeing a lot of people on social media talking about it. And there's some of the solution is possibly getting an officer just for the downtown area. Fence off those private properties, like behind the gas station, where I believe the tribe owns that now, but there's junky trailers down there and garbage, and if you actually went behind the gas station, you'd see a different whole world. And then there was talk about even having a dry reservation here in Hoopa. And then enforcing the open container and the loitering laws that we do already have in existence, making sure those are upheld. And then the other solution was maybe getting people together that can actually make that move, all those solutions move forward, forming a committee. And then whatever happened to the beautification of downtown, we've been hearing that for a year now, and so hopefully maybe a committee can be assembled and some things can go in place for making sure that we take our reservation back. You can drive through Weaverville, you don't see people sitting around the road drunk. You can, you know, go through different communities and you don't see people laying on the streets or coming up to you asking you for money or fighting in the parking lot while you're getting gas. So I hope that the new council, I know you guys go to those stores, you vacate, you go there all the time, we all do, but it's kind of enough is enough now. And it looks like everybody wants to move in a positive direction, and I'm willing to sit on a committee, and I think a lot of people are ready for solutions, and I hope that this council actually get some action steps, and we don't hear words, we hear and we see actions. That's it.
Thank you. Marceline
Norton. I'd like to follow up with what Kadu has said, because it's also my concern. I would like to see the council form a coordinated effort that involves the programs, departments, entities, and the community to address the social issues, and particularly with me, the drug problem. But I think that we need to have an overall comprehensive plan that not only is punitive, but rehabilitation and education and jobs. So again, I really think that to address this in the long term, we need an overall comprehensive plan that involves a lot of the different tribal government programs and entities and the membership. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Stanley Leon Ferris Jr. You guys probably better know me as Jumper. To follow up on what was just said, I think to be able to battle drugs and alcohol, you have to do it on a level that is going to have to be groundbreaking. Rehabilitation in itself is guaranteed to fail 85 to 90% of the time nationwide, and I'm pretty sure the failure rate is probably even higher on that of the reservation. You know, just simply just locking people up, sending them away, taking them away from their families, isn't really proven to straighten people out. You know, what it has been proven to do is fail. And so I think to be able to help our people become more rehabilitated and integrated to and successful would to be able to break new ground and be come up with new methods. Hopefully, maybe we could do it in a cultural way. You know, right now we have the sweat. I know that works for some people or whatever, even though it's in direct contradiction with our own religion. Whatever works for people, I guess. But I would like to see something new and positive. People need to have hope first before they could even want to begin to straighten up. They need to have something to hope for. You know, and, you know, not too long ago, I was basically ripped off for everything I owned in my house, even though I had let tribal police know exactly who would probably do it and when they would do it. So all somebody had to do was smear my name, and tribal police would give me no justice whatsoever. And that person did go ahead right on and go in my house and rip me off for everything. The lack of equal justice, the double standard of justice is something that's been bothering me for a great deal of time, you know? And I know that my standpoint isn't even as bad as some of the other people in the tribe. Some other people in the tribe, they look at it as, you know, they're never going to make it off that street or nothing. I mean, they basically sit up there with no hope whatsoever. So to be able to even combat the poverty and the addiction and all these other problems that these people have, and they have, you know, we need to be able to find a new way to reach out to them and provide them with some type of hope so that they could then want to be a better person and want to have a better society. They have to have a chance to be able to be part of society. There's a couple different, you know, societies within Hupa, you know, and once you're shut out of one, your chances are you're never going to be let back in, you know. And, you know, I don't speak to a great deal of my family just because I've made mistakes in the past, and even when I'm doing very well, they still see me as being back where I was. And I'm not, even though it's my own family, they still don't even let me back in. And it's to the point where I don't even want back in now. If they could show me that type of coldness and that type of cold shoulder to where my life isn't worth anything to them, you know, I can only imagine what other people in Hupa feel like. You know, I'm sure a lot of people feel a lot worse. And I just think that everybody needs to get together and come up with a new way to battle this old problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Haley Hutt. The previous auditor used to provide a one-page report on the enterprises, and it would show exactly what the profit was, and it had the calculations for what the per capita would be for the next fiscal year. In the last couple of years, it's been really difficult to get that one-pager to show exactly what would be paid out to the membership if the per capita ordinance was followed. I'd like to see us get that report. I'd like to know what the per capita owed to the people would be. And you'd be surprised if you saw it. The percentage from the enterprises outside of HFI is really very low. It's the only fair and even distribution of our shared ownership that we have. And I think more importantly maybe is that we would then know and have an accounting of how the businesses are doing. I think that it should be modified. It should show we should have a group effort in seeing how the business could be improved and how it could be expanded. Because right now, since the government takes most, if not all, of the money. Businesses aren't allowed to improve their business, and so we have what we see as unimpressive, and we don't feel like we own it. I'm not like, oh, I own that mini mart and it's awesome. I mean, I shop at the mini mart. I like the mini mart. I'm not dissing the mini mart, but maybe if they were unleashed to make improvements, it might look different. We might have a different experience, and that goes for all of our businesses. Another thing is that there is an organization out there that did take a look at what does it take to get homeless people functioning, not just homeless individuals, but families. And I can't remember the name, so I will come back with that for the council. But it did require housing them and providing continuous intervention from all kinds of sources, not just the 12-step, counseling, family counseling, financial assistance, working, improving their skills in the working world. But the point is that what they discovered is that it takes 5 years of that continuous support from multi-organizations before any of them were functioning on their own. And most of them went beyond that. So any solution that has to do with punishment, because those punishments are short-term, or sending them off to rehab, coming back in 6 months, those are not real solutions because they're really not working. So this organization is an example that we can look to, because that's the kind of intervention our tribal members and community needs to see real solutions. Another thing that I witnessed out there for another tribe was that, and they were a smaller tribe, and I think it's a little difficult with a larger membership, but we have had so many plans, planning departments, planners, and great ideas that have been written out. But what they did was they simply put up, well, not simply because they had it drawn up, was a vision of their future. And I think that would be very helpful. I think we need some hope, and it would be awesome to come in and see a big picture. What would downtown look like? What would the entire valley look like if we were 90% employed at a happy income? If we had high-speed internet, if we had, fuels reduction, what would that look like? I think it would be great to have that image on the wall, and we could all say, hey, that's our future right there. Our children could say, hey, that's our future. And it should be a living document, a living image, so that everybody can, it can be continuously improved upon. Everything we have should be continuously improved upon. So I think I'm down to 30 seconds, so those are my three ideas for today. But thank you for letting us share. I love the organization and the documentation that's taking place at this meeting. I want to thank the council and the chairman for that.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Joseph Lemieux. I'd like to follow up on what Haley has said. And I think it hopefully it'll encompass many, many things. I want to thank the council for bringing forth this general meeting for the people. I've sat through a lot of general meetings, and this is the first one I can remember of that the council has taken the time to listen to the people. I think this is a new beginning. So what I want to say that we have a lot of ordinances and rules and regulations. We hear in the community from tribal members that some of them are being violated, some of them being abused. I think we have sufficient rules. I'm not saying that they ought to not be tightened up. And two specific ordinances that concern me as I've watched over the years I kind of like tell people, they ask me what I've been doing since I've been off the council, and I say, well, I've been sitting by the river watching the river go by. This is a metaphor. As I've sat back and watched the tribal business flow by, it's really amazing what you see when you're not involved. And I'm not trying to be negative at all. It's just that you get a chance to see more things going on. It's like sitting by the river and watching what flows down a river. It's amazing what you see. And that's what I've been doing with my time, is just watching. Two of the big things, ordinances that I see that are helpful to this tribe, yet there's so much interpretation of those ordinances. And one of them is the conflict of interest ordinance, and the other one is the nepotism ordinance. And there's no way I'm going to say or support or encourage a complete letter of the law nepotism ordinance, because we're all related. So it's very, very difficult to write, tighten up the nepotism ordinance, because our families are involved and we love our families. And we do what we can to protect our families, fight for our families as much as we can. What I do see happening in the nepotism is that some of the managers find excuses to squeeze out certain individuals, opponents, non-supporters, or however you want to say it. They squeeze them out, and then no one's left except their family member, and they bring them in. Justifiably in that regard. Maybe there's an area there that can be tightened up. I don't know. It has to be looked at, studied a little further. And the way you do that is that you look at what has been happening. Check it out. And I hear that you're doing some of that in the last couple of weeks, and I'm glad to hear that. The conflict of interest goes along with that also, because in the long run, we all get hurt. It hurts the council. It creates a division. It drives a wedge between the people and the council, or the people and the managers who you hire on to do your business. So those are just two areas. What I want to talk about is that our planning, our economic planning here. We have to establish a plan, and you bring in this meeting today, I'm encouraged that you're ready to put some strategic plans on paper. The plans that you put on paper have to stand the test of time from one council to the next. So I just wanted to say, okay.
Continue.
All right. I mean, I'll do the best I can to hurry up here. Is that the plan that you put on the table has to stand the test from council to council. What happens is that we, as Haley said, we get plans on the table. And then sometimes, as Joe Roscoe said, those plans, they fall by the wayside in the next council. And then it's forgotten. And yet we spend sometimes a lot of time and energy developing any plans economically. We just need to get it put in, written in stone, put down so that it will follow from one council to the next. The downtown area Kadu brought up. That's been talked about for many, many years, of trying to develop and polish that up down there and clean it up and build a downtown area. I don't know where that plan is. I know we talk about it from time to time. One of the things in that plan was building a walkway near our bridge for people to walk without walking in the middle of the bridge or alongside. But I don't know where that plan is. If the state of California is going to do it, I don't know what's happening there. So that's just another issue. So I just want to say that, and I may be back up here, but those are the things that the council isn't going to come overnight. You're not going to get it in the next 6 months, and it may take you another term. to get these things done. Two more things to consider. I think that our minimum wage has got to be raised. I see it. Ryan, you supported it. I back that, and I back that again. It's got to be raised. Our people have got to have a little bit more help. There may be some of the issues of downtown people with, you know, 10 bucks an hour is not livable. And the other one is that the tribal council, I think that we have to have tribal council terms which are longer than 2 years. I don't know how you can, I know we've put it on the ballot a couple times, but it's not something that we ought to forget about because we need to bring that forth. So those are just my 2 cents for today, and I may come back. And thank you for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and if you want to follow up again on what somebody might have said after you've come forward, you know, feel free. Mike.
Good morning. My name is Michael Hostler, and I am the transportation planner for the Hoopa Valley Tribe. I've heard a few different comments about the downtown project, and just wanting to kind of address this council in regards to that project, and for some of those that may or may not know the history behind it. In 2002, there was a environmental justice grant that was received that funded a design charrette in 2005. During that 2005 design charrette, there was some planning, serious planning efforts done with the community. There was over 100 community members that attended the meetings in June of 2005. And there was a concept that was designed for what downtown could look like. So from there, in 2008, Caltrans approved a project study report. That was something that Warren Tamaris had worked on extensively. And I was also at the time a planner for the Hoopa Valley Tribe and worked on that in conjunction and saw that coming to fruition. In 2013, I came back as the planner for the tribe and had the ability to, yeah.
Can't hear you that great. Can't hear you that great.
Okay.
Sorry.
I came back to the tribe in 2013 and worked on getting some funding to kind of revitalize that project. We received, I believe that Warren and Jackie Hostler submitted in 2008 funding for the 2013 State Transportation Improvement Program through Caltrans and the California Transportation Commission. In 13, we did receive that funding. The funding was allocated. We applied for them to release it, and we've been in negotiations for the last year and a half with the state on a limited waiver of sovereign immunity. The $475,000 was for the environmental and preliminary design work that was necessary to complete the environmental study. So right now, currently, we do have an agreement that the previous council has agreed to. I'm going to represent that agreement to the council and request that you support that agreement along with a resolution to bring the funding across for the downtown redesign project. We also this past year wrote a grant for the Tribal Transportation Safety Fund program in the amount of $461,000. That grant will be utilized for the construction of the intersection downtown right there at the Rays intersection in the old Jackson Trailer Park. The purpose of the downtown project and what was scoped was the need to provide pedestrian walkways, bicycle walkways, and basically just a walkable community. And to do so, we would need to realign Tish Tang Road. Tish Tang Road is too close to the bridge abutment. It's out of federal highways and state highway specifications. And therefore, we've embarked on this planning process to realign that there at Jackson's Trailer Park. This is going to take some land acquisition, definitely talking with some landowners, getting council buy-in. And so the project is alive and well. The Tribal Council has also allocated a $500,000 match to the Tiger Grant that we submitted this year for $8.6 million. And if that's funded, we'll have the entire amount of money to be able to complete that project in its entirety. As it stands right now, we have about $1.2 million to go ahead and begin the drainage portion of that project. and that is slated to begin in the spring of 2016. So the reality of the downtown project is coming to fruition, and you will start seeing some work being done downtown. And so with that, my request is that, first of all, you know, I want to congratulate the council on your election, and look forward to working with you, and just ask that you prioritize this project and several other of the projects that we're working on, which include a Safe Routes to School project, which will create pedestrian and bicycle pathways from Blue Slide to the bridge. We've also been in discussion with Caltrans regarding the bridge and possibly adding a cantilever walkway. Our bridge is not slated for any upgrades or any retrofits in the next 10 years. So we're asking them to find funding to create a better pedestrian walkway for our community members. So my concern is that, number one, that the council supports the project. Number two, that the community comes out. We will be holding several community meetings between now and the time that the funding comes through. So we do ask for you to attend and give your thoughts and comments, and we definitely will include those into our projects. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Norma McAdams. I'm a member of the Hoopa Valley Tribe, former grant writer planner, and special projects for the Hoopa Tribe. And so I spoke with a few of you at the swearing in the importance of emergency preparedness. I worked on upgrading the multi-hazard mitigation plan. There are plans and steps for each tribal entity to be working on preparing for evacuation. And it isn't a matter of if, but when we have a cataclysmic event in North America, and we are in the path of a dam. So we really seriously need to be working on mitigating the plans that are in the multi-hazard mitigation plan. There are grants that need to be written, and certain entities just need to step up. So, and I know recently OES has been prioritized, and I know that Rod will continue to need help, but I wanted to bring that to the attention of the full council and how important that is for the membership. It's about saving lives. It's about preparedness, and each family needs to be educated as to what they need to have in place before that event happens, because it's going to be too late for them to come to the tribe. Then we're going to have to help them get organized and ready for that event. The other thing I'd like to speak about would be the Klamath Truth Anti-Drug Coalition that had been working for over 5 years with the community and had tried to work with tribal entities to bring them on board to begin making plans overall of how we can help our community to heal. It's still possible. We have help from federal agencies such as SAMHSA, and because we are a recipient of the Native Aspirations funding, they will continue to hold the door open for us to get technical assistance. We did have planning meetings this year, and so those things need to be followed up on with behavioral health and the inclusion of the community. To prioritize and to work, develop a plan, like Haley mentioned, a vision with action steps, including the community. And sometimes we talk about